Hello, this is Janet Meshagan Watson for Voice of the Last Days Ministry, and this is your wake-up call. The Lord is doing a great thing in the earth. Well, we all have questions from time to time, and I've talked about that before, and I'll talk about it again, but what I want to talk about today is some questions that God has had for us. Now, there's hundreds of such questions in the Bible. I'm going to bring to you just a few today. Let's begin in Genesis chapter 4, verse 6. The context here is that Cain and Abel both offered a sacrifice to the Lord. The sacrifice of Abel was pleasing to the Lord. The sacrifice of Cain was not pleasing to the Lord, and Cain became very angry, picking up in verse 6 of Genesis 4. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." Now we know the end result is that Cain did not listen to the Lord, and he actually murdered his brother Abel. Well, let's go back to what's the basis of this question that the Lord is asking Cain when he says, "Why are you angry?" The Lord knew why he was angry, because his sacrifice had not been accepted. But the intention of the question is to say the anger is misdirected. You need to look inward. It isn't your brother's fault. It isn't Abel's fault that his sacrifice was pleasing. What is in you that has made your sacrifice not acceptable to the Lord? Well, you know, we all want to project our woes, our ills, our sorrows, our frustrations on other people or God. But the bottom line is we can't look at what other people are doing or getting or being. We have to look at what God has called us to do, to be, and then judge our actions according to that. And let that be the plumb line, not what you think other people are getting or getting by with or they're chosen over you or whatever. God, as many people as there are, God is so great that he can deal with each of us individually. So let's not misplace our anger, angst, frustration, whatever, on anybody else or even any situation, but to look inward and say, "God, what can I do to make this right? And beyond that, what can I allow you to do through me to make this right?" Misplace anger will get you in trouble. Exodus 14:15 for another question from the Lord. We know that the Lord has helped Moses bring the children of Israel out. They're now in the desert. They've got the sea on one side of them, the Egyptians approaching them on another. And Moses has cried out to the Lord. Verse 15 of Exodus 14. And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." Now, if you look at the verse before this, you see that Moses has said in verse 13, he's saying to the people, it's a couple of verses back, "And Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace.'" And that then the Lord says, and the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me?" He said, "No, Moses, you said it out of your own mouth that I'm fighting for you. Now, go forward. Tell the children to go forward." A lot of times in our lives, we're saying, "Why, Lord, why? When, Lord, when? How, Lord, how?" And he's already given us the instruction, given us the promise, and it's just for us to do. Oh, I know you've never struggled with that, but you just pray for us that have. Let's look at Isaiah 55:2 for another question from the Lord. He said, "Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance." Do you want to delight in abundance? I know I do. Verse 3, incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Now, let's go back to the original question here. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? In other words, the Lord is not saying you don't need to buy bread or you don't need to buy the things that seem to supply your needs. He says, but you're going about it backwards. You're seeking these things, trying to find satisfaction. You're spending your money trying to find satisfaction. And he's saying, your satisfaction is with me. He says, listen to me, and I'll show you how to delight yourself in abundance. Now, in Jeremiah 2:36, another question. The Lord says, why do you gad about so much to change your way? Also, you shall be ashamed of Egypt as you were ashamed of Assyria. Well, what does this mean? That his people had sought out allies among those that were not God's people. And he says, you're gadding about, you're courting this one, you're courting that one, you're trying this, you're trying that. You know, I heard someone mention the fact that there's been such a falling away. Those words remind you of anything from the scripture? There's been such a falling away from church attendance that many denominations are having summits and conferences and whatever to try to determine how to get people back in the pews. Well, they're going to try this. They're going to try that. They're going to do this program. They're going to do that program. They're going to be user-friendly. They're going to be more open. They're going to, you know, that's all ridiculous. Bottom line, seek God for how to bring those people back because it's by His Spirit. Now, He may put creativity in these pastors and leaders' hearts. He may put programs in these pastors and leaders' hearts, but they will come out of the seeking of God first and His Holy Spirit, not trying to decide, well, you know, if I use this catchphrase, that'll appeal to this group, or if we do this kind of music, that'll appeal to this group. There's no end to that. But if you seek the Spirit will help you do what you need to do, and then those that will come. Are you doing that in your life? Are you trying to think of another great idea, analyzing your strategy as to how you're going to do this and how you're going to do that? Well, of course, we plan. But planning should come out of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. If we just try to do this in our carnal mind, we're going to mess up. Now, I want to say something more personal to you. You're trying to appeal to certain groups by becoming like them. And it is, I'm not going to say it's going to get you into trouble. It already has. Because you are changing who you are. Let's find out who God wants us to be, and let's be that. And those that will align themselves with the Lord, which is also then will be aligning themselves with us in fellowship with us, then so be it. Let's let that be the way, and not be trying to have approval here or have approval there, or have this one think you're cool, or be on this end list, or climb a corporate ladder by going against the very things that God has determined that you should be and do. Now let's look in the New Testament for a question. Matthew 6:28, Jesus speaking, why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Another why here from the Lord. Why do you worry about clothing? Now obviously we have to be clothed. We have to make ends meet. We have to meet a budget. But when we put all our emphasis and energy there and neglect of our emphasis and energy in seeking the Lord, we may get money, but we'll put it in bags with holes, as the Bible says. But if we seek Him first, again, He will give us the ability to prosper. He will give us the ability to have creative thoughts and thinking. He will supply our need. Now, do we have to work? Yes. Say it again. Do we have to work? Yes. But we don't let that striving become anxiety and stress in our life and forget God. And forget that He says you have not because you ask not. I'll go on to quote that scripture that says, you ask and have not because you ask amiss to consume it on your own lust. Let's make sure that our asking is by way of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspires us to ask those things of which we truly have need, and then God supplies because we have asked according to His will. Matthew 7:3, the next to the last why that we have today, Jesus speaking, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Good point. Another good why for us to consider. Why are we always noticing what everybody else needs to do? Why are we always noticing how everybody else is not spiritual enough, or they're too spiritual, or they're this, or they're that? Look, we're only in control of ourselves through Jesus Christ. In other words, we can submit ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit. We can't force other people to do that. We begin with us, because that is our responsibility, to submit to God, to fully rely upon Him, to let Him make us what we need to be. Then if He wants to use us to minister through, to speak a word to someone, or to help them come along, so be it. But you can't spend all your time noticing what everybody else is doing wrong, because in the meantime, you're going to lose out, because you're not going to be doing the work that God has called you to do, and you're also probably going to be making some judgments that aren't according to what God wants. And the final why for today from the Lord to us, Matthew 8:26, a scripture I recently brought to you about the disciples being on the boat and they were afraid. And He said to them, verse 26, Jesus speaking, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? And then we know that He stood up and He calmed the sea and the storm. Why are you fearful? There's an old song that says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer, knowing that He is with us. Well, let's consider these whys that the Lord has for us today. We're always given our own whys. And let's answer Him. And let's say, here am I. Do with me, Lord, what you will. I will obey. Let's pray about this. Father, I thank you that you care enough about us to provoke our minds and our hearts to thought, to introspection. Lord, that we not just go recklessly into destruction, but rather we let your Holy Spirit search our hearts to see if there's any way in us that is not pleasing to you, and any way in us that's being used as a door of the enemy of our souls. Lord, thank you that you give us the power to be transformed in the image of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Thank you that the devourer has been rebuked and exiled for our sake, so that only your word is manifest in and through us. It is in Jesus' name and authority and under His blood that we pray, and everybody said, amen. Well, I'll leave you with one last why. If you're struggling in these areas and you know you need to submit these areas to the Lord, why not do it today? I'm praying for you.